This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program on Wednesday, March the 26th. We pray that you are having a great day, a glorious day. We want to thank you for joining us as we are going through the Word of God, looking at the things God's Word wants to instruct us on. And that instruction in 1 John chapter 2, 3, and 4 primarily focuses on abiding, on knowing, on practicing, on purifying. That was one of the things that we talked about yesterday, purifying ourselves. What that means, I'll just jump into that, is that we avail ourselves of the cleansing that God wants to do in our lives. And so I am thankful. There have been times when I've had to do things physically that were very, very dirty. I worked in a manufacturing plant that manufactured heaters and boilers and air conditioners and all of that sort of stuff. I was a saw operator and a pipe threader. And those clothes got so filthy that I didn't even try and clean them. I just threw them away because it was a messy job. I didn't throw them away every day. I threw them away after they just had outlived their usefulness and that job had given away to a different type of job. But I've had to do some mechanic work and things like that. And there's been times that there have been more spots that were dirty than there were clean. And I can tell you that thankfully those were not permanent conditions, that there was a cleansing routine that was available for me to cleanse myself. There was one time that my mother said, "You are not coming into my house." It wasn't a fancy house. It was a very old house. And there was nothing glamorous about it at all, but it was her house. And she said, "You are not coming into my house with all of that grease on you." And so I had to stand outside until it was a very brisk, cold cleansing process, getting all of that grease off of me with a garden hose in very cool temperatures in November. I still remember what a miserable experience that was. Might have been October, but it was brutal, brutal cold. So I hope that sin has not found a safe haven in any area of your life, not spiritually, not mentally, not as far as your time usage, but instead that you are availing yourself of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, and he is cleansing you spiritually, cleansing your heart, cleansing your mind, and cleansing your life. So want to take just a moment to invite you out to our services tonight. We'll once again be going through the Gospel of John. That is our adult Bible study. We have a young adult class. We also have children's ministry that goes on, and we would be honored and privileged if you came out and joined us in becoming the best disciples that we could be to the glory of God. 165 North Grove Street, all of that starts at 7. We shoot to be done at 8, and then so we have tables set up. We have study guides that we do, and the only thing that we are missing is you. Once that is done, our sanctuary breaks down and gets ready for a men's Bible study that meets on Friday morning. So for a very small church, we have an awful lot that goes on, and that Bible study for men meets It's men from multiple different churches. It's not really a Merit Assembly of God thing. It just happens to meet at Merit Assembly of God. But there are men who've worshiped together and for decades, and they come together to build one another up, pray for one another, and study the Word of God. So that meets Friday, 6 a.m. So nice and early. A lot of men in my church are allergic to sleeping in, and so a lot of our things take place early of a morning. Let's get into the Word of God, 1 John chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse number 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, capital H, is righteous. That's referring to God. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed, capital H, remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. So, it says here in verse number 10, whoever commits sin, and all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What is being talked about here is people who sin, and it is something that they practice. It is, in fact, the Amplified Version says, everyone who commits or practices sin is guilty of lawlessness. Lawlessness is the opposite of righteousness. The two things are incompatible. One comes at the expense of the other. So righteousness is something that God gives to us. It is our status of relationship with him. It's a gift from him, but it is also something that we are given the responsibility to make righteousness our lifestyle. So we live in alignment with the moral and the ethical standards that God has established for mankind. So the reason that we are able to do that is because he is the Lord, our righteousness. So when you understand that, you are not going to want to continue to practice sin or to practice lawlessness. And it says sin is lawlessness. It is living as if there is no law. It is every man doing what is right in his own eyes. There's a saying that the world has, and it goes like this: practice makes perfect. And I don't remember exactly who it was that commented on that, and they said that saying is not completely true, because if you have the routine of practicing badly, you're not going to get any better. You are going to be perfectly bad. It takes practicing the right things, practicing it continually over and over and over again, that you become what God wants you to be. Now, in the natural, you can see that people who really put forth the effort into practicing and developing in certain areas in their life, it could be their business, it could be their intellectual capacity, it could be their relationships, it could be their hobbies. People who practice, they get, if they're practicing the things they're supposed to practice, they are going to develop and be better in the things that they are striving to achieve. So there was a basketball player, a very talented basketball player, and he had a personality conflict with his coach. And his coach would comment like this: one of the reasons we are struggling is because of the things he does in practice. And the player's response was, practice? We're talking about practice? And there are many people who have that same mindset that that very talented, very famous, very rich athlete had, and that is, I don't put as much effort into practice as I do into the game. I want you to know that that is a restriction on how much you are going to improve, no matter how gifted you are. So there's a teaching that I do. I don't know anyone else who's ever done it. And it talks about three different classifications of Abraham's children. So you have had the sons of Keturah that he had after Sarah died, and he had more kids by her than he had by Sarah. He only had Isaac by Sarah, and more than he had by Hagar. He only had one. He had multiple children by Keturah, and he gave gifts to them, and he sent them off. There are a lot of gifted people in the world, but they do not have a committed relationship. They might have had a great starting point, but at some point in time, all they received, all that they had to go through life with, was the giftings that had been bestowed upon them. So they did not walk in the same relationship with God as, you know, Isaac did. So there was the first child that Abraham fathered, and that was Ishmael. And when God said, look, I'm going to give you another son, I'm going to establish my covenant with them, Abraham's response was, oh, that you might bless Ishmael. And God said, because you've asked for him to be blessed, I will bless him. And Ishmael's relationship with Abraham was better than that of the gifted people. By the way, I will say this, the gifted people habitually fought against the children of Israel, the descendants of Isaac. And so you can be gifted but not blessed. And you can be blessed and you know, there's a very popular theme of products that says, look, I'm blessed. I'm grateful. I'm blessed. I'm grateful and I'm thankful. But I can tell you from a lot of conversations that I've seen that people are identifying themselves as blessed when they're not walking in obedience to what God has said. That can be true. The third one, though, was Isaac. And God said, I'm going to establish my covenant with him. And I can tell you this, Isaac was gifted, he was blessed, but even greater than living a blessed life is living a covenant life. And so if you and I are walking in covenant, we are not going to be wanting to do the things that God tells us not to do, because we understand that God's heart is not that he is restricting us, but he is protecting us. Sin is lawlessness, but I will tell you this, it is also painful. It is also miserable. And if you live the way in which God doesn't want you to live, you're going to be like, you know, a person being pursued by a police officer. You're going to be running because you don't want to be apprehended, because you know that you're doing something that you don't want to do. Now, here's Here's what John writes about the nature of Jesus pertaining to lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested. He was born in the flesh. He lived. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. He was manifested to take away our sins, not to empower us in our sins. And in him, there is no sin. So if you remember on yesterday's program, we talked about that when we know him as he is, then that will become the revelation that motivates us to become exactly like him. So I was going to say this yesterday, and I didn't. And this happens a lot, especially with children when they're young, where their dad is their role model. And so my grandson has always wanted to wear clothes like his dad, wear his hair like his dad. He watched his dad intently, watched how he drove. And so at one point in time, they got him one of these battery-powered cars. This goes back several years ago. And they took a video of my grandson, and he was backing his battery-powered little toy car into a pseudo parking spot, just the same way that his dad backs his vehicle. Nobody ever told him, hey, you think you can back it in there? He just wanted to be as much like his dad as he could be. And then, you know, the more that you grow, then you want to create your own personality, and there are areas that you want to become like your dad. And so now my grandson's hairstyle is different than my son's is. My son's is different than mine was. Because he understands the nature of his hair, and he didn't want to have the big afro hair that I had when I was growing up. So he keeps his to where curls are not an issue. Let's just put it that way. Jesus came along here in verse number 5 to take away our sins, because in him, in Christ, there is no sin. Sin is not just the things that we do. Sin, if it is a regular part of your life, it's not because you're not a sinner because of the things that you do. You're doing the things that are displeasing in God's sight. You're doing the lawless things because sin is what's inside your spirit. And Jesus came to take that away. He came to take it away. And so you and I, we ought to let him take those sins upon him. We can cast our cares upon him, cast our sins upon him, and because he loves us and he wants to take those things away. So I have this mindset that I look at sin as a venomous snake. I know that there are people who really like their exotic snakes and things like that, and they have, you know, permits that they've got to have. They've got to have care facilities. They've got to have the right containers, the right tools, the right training, and all of that sort of stuff. But you know what I have seen from people who do that is a lot of times those people who are treating those animals like domesticated pets have those animals also lash out at them because their nature is that they're venomous. They're a lot of times they are in the killing business for sustaining, so they literally will bite the hand that feed them. And so very rarely have I ever seen someone who hadn't been struck. Steve Irwin comes to mind. He was on television one time, and he was demonstrating this one particular snake. It wasn't a venomous one. And he made a statement something like, you know, we've developed this relationship. This snake won't bite me. And then all of a sudden, the snake bit him. And he maintained his composure and things like that. But sin is very much like that. It will come into your life, and it will make you think that you are controlling it. And then the next thing you know, it's biting. And unlike a non-venomous snake, sin is toxic and sin is lethal. Jesus didn't come to empower us to keep on sinning. He came to deliver us from the stronghold of sin, from the power of sin that treated us like a slave, that our sin nature was making us sin. And Jesus said, I want to change the dominion in your life. I want to bring you out of the kingdom of darkness. I want you to bring you into the kingdom of light, to where I give you authority to live the life that you were always meant to live. Sin treats us like a slave, making us live a life we were never intended to live. So you were never meant to be controlled by substances. You were never meant to go from one relationship train wreck to another, to another, to another. You were never meant by God to live controlled by anxiety or fear. You were never meant to be victimized by the enemy. God's plan has always been for you to be led triumphantly in Christ Jesus, for you to have peace that passes understanding, to have a heart for the things of God instead of running away from the things of God, for you to be successful in your relationship with God and thus be empowered to be successful in relationship with other people. So Jesus came to take away that. In him, Jesus, there is no sin. Verse number 6 says, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. And so here we see that abiding principle again, that if we are abiding in him, if the anointing is teaching to abide in him, we are not going to want to sin. This is the offer that we have from God, that we can abide in him, and or the indicator, it's the indicator that we do not sin because Jesus is in us. If we submit to God and resist the devil will flee. Sin and the presence of Jesus are incompatible. One of them's going to go. If you come and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy, he will. And he will take the sin out of your life. So I want to tell you that there is no caveat. There is no carve out of a special category of sin that doesn't have to be surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. All of us have different personalities. All of us come from a background where one particular sin or another had a controlling influence in our life. I tell people this because I know my personality. When I'm working, I work hard. When I'm resting, I rest hard. I have a bit of an addictive personality. Because I recognize that, there are things I do not subject myself to, not even once, because if I were to make room for that in my life, it would take that foothold, and then it would begin to encroach on more and more areas of my life, and it would be devastating spiritually, relationally, financially, occupationally, professionally, and possibly even eternally. I don't want it in my life, so I don't make room for it. We do not have things in our house. I've got a person I went to school with, and unfortunately for him, he was around some pretty high profile Christians who had things going on in their private lives that nobody knew about in their public lives. And he's been a very resistant person to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm still praying that God will have a breakthrough in his life, because he found people who had sin abiding in their life. You can't have sin and Jesus being roommates in your life. If you are abiding in Christ, you are not going to want to sin. It's not going to be pleasing. It's not going to be acceptable. It's not going to be entertaining. It's going to be something that you want to reject and get away as far away from as possible. Here we revisit verse number 2 with this statement in the latter part of verse number 6. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. And what that means is it has not been revealed to you that he is sinless, that he is pure, that he is powerful, that he is enough. Sin, the mindset of sin basically says that Jesus is not enough, that I need this sin going on in my life in order to feel complete. Really, what it does is it brings death and trauma into an area of your life. It really, instead of making a person complete, it really creates a state of incompletion in them. If sin has a controlling interest in your life, whether it's substance abuse, whether it's money, whether it's immorality, whatever it might be, I want you to know that Jesus wants you to see him as he is, high and lifted up, holy, righteous, pure, the lover of your soul. He is the best thing that could ever possibly happen to you. And if you see him, you're going to want to know him. And if you know him, you're not going to want to do the things that grieve his heart. You're going to want to walk as close to him as you possibly can, because you'll realize that Jesus is the best thing that ever happened in your life. God bless you. You have a great day. Hopefully we'll see you at church tonight. If not, we'll see you next time here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.